This morning we'd like to turn to the book of Joshua, the first chapter of the book of Joshua. We have looked over the last few Sundays at going forward, how that we need each other, how God's Word says two are better than one, how God delivers. He delivered the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt through the Red Sea, how God brought them to the edge of the Promised Land. And you'll recall last Sunday we looked at the events back in the book of Numbers, in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, where the spies were sent out and they spied out the Promised Land. Now God had told them that He would give them this land. He said, "I'll give it to you and to your children for an inheritance." And they looked at what God said He would give to them, and they felt like the most felt like they weren't able to enter in. You remember, they sent out 12 spies. Two, Joshua and Caleb, said to the people, we're able. You know why they felt they were able? Because they saw the same obstacles that the other people saw. They saw the same giants. They saw the same walled cities. And 10 of the 12 spies, that's all they saw, and they saw impossibility. They said, "We're not able." Joshua and Caleb saw those spies and saw those giants and those walled cities. But they saw something else. They saw that God, and remembered that God had promised that land to them, and they said, "We be able to go in." But the people, 10, said, "No, we're not able." 2 said, "God has promised it. We're able to go in." You know, they were leaning on, they were depending upon, they found confidence in the promises of God. You know, that's what we live on every day. It's the promises of God. We live on them every day. Joshua here said to the people, you know, "We're able to go up." But they said no. And you recall that God said, "You spied out the land 40 days. This generation that's rebelled against me, they'll fall in the wilderness." Those that were 20 years of age and younger, He said, "The next generation, they alone will enter into the promised land. They alone plus two others." You know who those other two were that got to enter in? That were older than 20 years of age, that lived through the wilderness wanderings and were able to enter into the promised land? It was Joshua and Caleb. 40 years later, God delivered on that promise, and He preserved them in the wilderness, and they were able to enter in and blessed to enter in to the promised land. Well, that's what we find in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, that the Israelites are west of the river Jordan. Moses has died. He's led them through the wilderness for 40 years. Because of his disobedience, he doesn't enter into the promised land. He's died. And now millions of these Israelites are camped west of the Jordan River. And the promised land that God had promised them, that they'd come to the borders of 40 years before, is over on the east side of the Jordan River. And they're just a river stands between them and that promised land. You know, there's a sort of a spiritual geography in the Bible. By geography we mean, you know, the layout of the land, the lands. And we read a lot about all the different countries in the Bible, but spiritually, approaching the geography of the Bible, there are but three different lands. One is, spiritually speaking, Egypt, which represents the world. When the God's people were in Egypt, they were in bondage and they were in slavery. And the opposite extreme of Egypt there, that land of bondage and slavery, the opposite side of that was Canaan, or the promised land that God had promised to them. Those were the two extremes. And between Egypt and bondage, and the promised land, Canaan, there was a third land, the wilderness. The wilderness. And do you know, in our spiritual lives, we begin, spiritually speaking, in Egypt. We're in bondage by nature. We're slaves to sin by nature. That's where we all started out. The world and worldliness, speaking from a geographic standpoint, that's where we all began. But God, by His grace and by His Spirit, quickens us in a newness of life. And as born again children of God and having spiritual life within our hearts, we can, with God's help, travel out of that land of bondage and move toward the promised land. But to get there, there's a wilderness that we must go through. And quite often we get stopped in that wilderness. If you study the life of the Israelites, the cities that they travel through, if you will sit down with a map and map out those cities, you'll find they just went in circles out there in the wilderness. They just went round and round and round in the wilderness. And that's where many of God's children are in their lives. They've been delivered out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt. But they're traveling in the wilderness, and they just don't quite cross over the River Jordan into the promised land. The Israelites here had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses had died. And we read in chapter 1 of Joshua, the first verse, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." He says, cross over this river into the promised land. Moses has died. And now Joshua is called upon to be the leader of Israel. You know, that's a pretty difficult role for Joshua to fill. Moses had been blessed of God to be a great leader. He had been the leader that led Israel through the Red Sea and through the wilderness and all those years. He's the one through whom God had spoken to them, to the Israelites. For 40 years, he's been the leader. And now, Moses has died. You know, sometimes we put more confidence in the man than we do in God. You know, Moses died, and he was buried. We don't even know where his grave is. He was buried out there in the wilderness. And we know not. The Scriptures say no man knows where that grave is. But he's died. Don't you imagine there were probably some among the Israelites that said, you know, now that Moses is gone, what are we going to do? You know, we just can't go on. Do you know that in the church and among God's children, sometimes leaders die and move on? That doesn't mean that the cause of Christ stops. It goes on. We don't worship the leader. We worship the Lord. If you want to see a church fall apart and disintegrate, you find a church where they worship the leader of the church more than they do the Lord. They worship the leader and not the Lord. And when that leader is gone, or when he fails in some way, or when he dies, or when he becomes incapable, it just disintegrates. It falls apart. It happens very, very often. But a church and a body whose focus is not on the leader, but their focus is on the Lord, when the leader's gone, they continue to follow the Lord. And you know what happens? The Lord will raise up another leader. Now, everybody doesn't begin in positions of leadership. Everybody doesn't rise to positions of leadership. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Remember, I believe last Sunday we spoke about the analogy to the body that we find over in the book of 1 Corinthians, where we read about the body. And it talks about spiritual gifts, and it moves from spiritual gifts on to the natural body. And it talks about the eye and the ear and the hand and the foot, and it says, you know, one part can't say to the other, you're not important. All of it together, fitly framed together, it says, forms the body. And so it is with the body of Christ. We need every part of the body. You know, it's not all eye, it's not all ear, it's not all nose, it's not all one part of the body, but there are different parts of the body. And as it says there in 1 Corinthians 13, we need all of that. We have different gifts and different roles to fill. So it was with Joshua and Caleb. Now there were two that were faithful. Joshua, we read, God calls to lead Israel after the death of Moses. Caleb, we don't find him in that kind of leadership role. He was one that was just as obedient as Joshua had been, but he had a different gift, and he had a different role to fill in the kingdom of God. You know that you and I have different gifts. We all have different gifts. I don't think the gifts of any of us are the same. We don't just have one gift, but God gives us a multitude of gifts. And what's important is not how your gift compares to somebody else's gift. It's not important which gift you have and what gift somebody else has, or what gift somebody else has that you don't have, or what gift you have that somebody else doesn't have. That's not important about our gifts. You know what's important about our spiritual gifts and abilities that God has bestowed upon us? What's important is, what are you doing with the gift God has given you and the role God has given you in His kingdom? Even those with gifts like Moses and Joshua had. Do you remember Moses started out keeping sheep on the backside of the desert? He didn't start out where he ended up. He started out as a servant. We read about Joshua here in this first verse of the first chapter of the book of Joshua. He says he was Moses' minister. Notice it starts out talking about Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And then it talks about Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses, minister, or servant. You know, those that are leading started out as servants. They started out as servants. Service is important. You know, everybody wants to be in the world a leader. Well, everybody's not in the same position, you know. If everybody were a leader, nothing would ever get done. But we all begin as servants, and no one will ever learn to lead others or influence others in a positive way that has not been through the school of service, being a servant unto others. That's important. That's where Moses began. And that's where Joshua began. He was Moses' minister. He served, he ministered to Moses as Moses ministered to the Lord. And the second verse says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Can you imagine Joshua when he's told that, now therefore arise, go over Jordan? He's told to lead Israel over Jordan. I imagine Joshua still suffered a little bit from the sting of 40 years before when he stood before Israel and said, we be able to go over into the promised land. They weren't There was no river to cross at that time. They were on the edge of the land. All they had to do was just walk on over into the land. And Joshua told them that. Do you remember? You may go back and look and read about the account of that. And we find back in Numbers, after Joshua spoke to the people and encouraged them to go forward, the people wanted to stone them, we read back in the 14th and 15th chapter of the book of Numbers. 40 years ago, he had tried to lead. He says, we be able, the people wanted to stone him. They wanted to take his life. They wanted to kill him. Do you imagine Joshua had forgotten about that? I very much doubt that he had. I'm sure that it was sort of a frightening thing for Joshua to step up and fill the role that God was calling him to fill among His people. Every one of us have baggage, they call it, our memories, our experiences, that when we try to go forward as we feel God would have us go forward, we remember our past and some of our bad experiences and perhaps some hurtful experiences of our past. We may remember some failures. Perhaps Joshua said, you know, I tried leading this people once before. Maybe he thought about that. And I spoke to them as I knew God would have me to speak to them. And I spoke to them the truth as I knew God would have me declare the truth to them. And I encouraged them in the way they should go and what they should do as God had promised. And they wanted to kill me. They wanted to stone me. I don't think Joshua had forgotten about that. That was part of his experiences. We all have experiences. But sometimes, you know, we look too much in the past and not forward. And sometimes Satan wants to hold us back from going forward into things that God would have us to go forward into. And now God would have Joshua to move from ministering unto Moses and being one there that served Moses who led Israel to become the one who will now lead Israel across the Jordan River. He says, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, all this multitude, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, in the fourth verse, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here is where we're to find our courage to go forward as God would have us to go forward. In the way and in the things that God would have us to go forward and move into. Our strength is not in our own abilities. Our strength is not from our own natural abilities or intelligence or anything that we have of ourselves. It wasn't here for Joshua. His strength was the fact that the Lord said, I will be with thee. When we go as God directs us to go, when we move forward as God directs us to move forward, God will be with us. Do you know that applies to a family? It applies to a church body. It applies to each of us individually. Maybe God has spoken to some of you parents about some things that ought to be going on in your home with your children that would be for their welfare, for their benefit, and for their good. And you think, well, maybe I'm just not able to. Maybe read the Bible with them or pray with them more. You know what? That's pleasing to God. And God will be with you. He'll be with us as we go forward in the things that are good and right in the sight of God. His promise to Joshua was, I will be with thee. All of those millions of people may want to have taken your life back there 40 years ago when you told them you were able to enter the promised land. They may want to have killed you then. They may have rejected you then. But you know what, Joshua? I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That was the promise of God to Joshua. There's where Joshua's strength came from. There's where Joshua's strength and good courage came from. In fact, as we read on, God said to him in the 6th verse, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And God says to him the 2nd time, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let me tell you what that verse didn't teach. That verse didn't say, Joshua, you think for yourself. You decide where you want to go. You decide what you want to do with Israel. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong. You make up your own mind. You develop your own opinion about things, Joshua. You decide what you want to believe about whatever the subject is, where you came from, why you exist, what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is righteousness, what is should be done, what should not be done, and you just decide and you go and I'll be with you. That's not what God said at all, was it? He said, you keep the Word. You hold on to the Word of God. Don't let it depart from you. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Be strong and be courageous. You hold on to the Word of God. You follow the principles of the Word of God. You meditate on the Word of God. Think spiritually. You know, the problem with most of us today is we let other people do our thinking for us. We're to think for ourselves, and our thinking is to be not independent thinking, but it's to be thinking built around the principles of God's Word. Don't turn from it to the right or the left. Hold the course according to God's Word. Go, he says. We're to go as God would have us to go. Go where God would have us to go. You young people here today, and all ages that are here, and me, and those that are older than me, from the oldest to the youngest here, you know what we need for life? We never outgrow this need. Now, we outgrow some things with our physical bodies, but there's some things we never outgrow the need for, and that is the Word of God and the principles of God's Word and applying them in our lives and following them and turning not from them. You want to get in trouble in life? You want to mess your life up? You want to have problems in your life that you may have to live with the rest of your life, the consequences of them? Then you just turn to the right or the left away from the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. And you'll bring grief into your life. And you'll bring sorrow into the lives of others and those that care about you and love you and that want the best for you. You want to have the best in your life? Hold to the principles of God's Word. Just as He told Joshua to do. And be strong and of a good courage. Do, He says, that thou mayest, in the seventh verse, observe to do according to all the law. Observe to do according to the law. That was the Word of God that they had, that had been revealed to them as of that time. We have this entire body, this entire Bible now, the body of God's Word that He's revealed unto us. And we're to observe to do it. You see, God didn't give that to us so, oh, we'd have miserable lives. And we'd be so constrained and confined that life was just a, you know, all these legalistic rules and principles, and we just go, that's not what it's about at all. The Word of God liberates us. It's by the Word of God that we quit wandering around and round and round in the wilderness and move on into the promised land, spiritually speaking. We're out of Egypt, we're out of bondage, we've been born of God's Spirit, but many of us get caught in the wilderness and we wander in the wilderness and we go in circles and we can move on into the promised land in our lives if we observe to do that that's written in God's Word. Turn not from it. Don't turn to the right or the left. The eighth verse, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it. Meditate means to just chew on it. Think about it. You know, we can't meditate on every word in this book. But we can gather pieces of this Word and meditate on it. Last Sunday, we read the 23rd Psalm. Just meditate on that Psalm. Think about each word of it. The conclusion. You know, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've all known different dwellings here in life. But isn't it wonderful to think about someday that every child of God will be dwelling together in the house of the Lord forever in heaven? You know, isn't it wonderful when all the family's together and everybody's getting along and it's a good season in life and we enjoy fellowship with one another and we spend time with one another? It's a wonderful time. Those times come and go in this sin-cursed world. But someday we all will be together in heaven. We'll be separated here for a while. But someday we'll all be together. The ninth verse says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll tell you something happened, Brother Tom and Angela was in my house last Monday night, I believe it was. Brother Tom's friend, Bud May, that we'd mentioned, the father that was introduced for President Bush as the father of the Marine sergeant killed in Iraq. He visited in our home with Sanaa and her family, and they had some very good conversations. I think it was a blessing, I believe, to Bud Clay to talk to someone that had been there in that country and that his son had fought for and willingly died for. And after we visited and we started to break apart, he said, I want to look at some of your books. And he looked at the books in my bookshelves. He said, oh, I've got that one. Yeah, I like that. Oh, I've got this one. I like that one. And he said something about my exercise bike. I printed off a few verses that morning to begin as I ride my exercise bike to read and meditate on and think about and pray over. This verse was prominent right there in the middle, highlighted in the middle, the ninth verse.
the first chapter of Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
He noticed that. He said, you know, I just printed it that morning. He says, sudden silence. And he says, you know, that's my son's favorite verse. As a matter of fact, his wife had that printed on cards and gave to everybody at his funeral. Of all the verses I could have printed off that morning and been reading, and of all the verses that could have been his son's favorite verse, it could have been any number of thousands of verses to. How about that's just not consequence. That's just not chance. God, God, He sees all of us. He knows every circumstance. This same fellow, when he was in our home, he says, when he was visiting with the president began to tell him about some Iraqi men that had visited with the president. How that one of them had lost his arm or his hand when Saddam had it cut off because of some, not because he had done wrong, but because he wasn't happy about the exchange rate on money. And he began to talk about how the president helped that man, and Saddam, her children, took it up and says, we know that man. He signed part of her papers to help her get out of the country. You know, those things aren't just chance. God moves. God moves in our lives. We need to be strong and be courageous and be not afraid. You know, sometimes we're afraid to step out, spiritually speaking, and as God gives us an opportunity to cross the Jordan over into the promised land, sometimes I think we get pulled back over into the wilderness. And we need to cross over again. We need to be strong and of good courage, knowing that God will not leave us nor forsake us. Go forward. Go. Because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. When we go as God would have us to go, God will be with us. And He'll give us courage. And He'll give us strength. And you know, that's not only a blessing to us, it gives glory and honor to God when we lean upon Him and depend upon Him and go forward as He would have us to go forward. Sometimes we feel like, well, you know, I can't make a difference. What does it matter about my life? Does anybody care whether I do this or not? I'm not in the public eye. It's just one. You know what? Moses and Joshua, I'm sure they shared some of those same feelings. That's why God told him. You know, over and over again, three times God told him to be strong and of good courage. It takes courage to go against the world and the ways of the world. It takes courage to step away from the crowd that's walking away from God and step away from the crowd and go against the flow and go toward God and the ways of God, turning not to the left or the right, going forward as God would have you to go. It takes courage, but God will give us strength and He will not forsake us and He'll be with us. There'll be a time, probably before this day is out, there'll be a time this week, there'll be a time in the days ahead where you're going to be tempted to go back in the way of the wilderness, or even maybe draw back near the place of bondage. God's Word says there is no temptation but that God provides a way of escape. He'll be with you. I hope that each one of us in the days ahead will think, as we face decisions in life, am I going to go in that direction, back toward Egypt, or am I going to go in the other direction, toward the promised land? If we go God's way, God says He'll be with us and He'll give us strength and He'll give us courage. And we'll need it. Because when you go God's way, often you're going to find you're going against the tide
of popular opinion. You may be going against a lot of your friends. You may be going against some of those people at work, or you may be going against some of those folks that you go to school with that have been your friends. That's all right. Don't let the crowd take you away from God. You take the crowd toward God. Don't let the flow of what's going on in the world take you away from the principles of God's Word. You take them into the principles of God's Word. Go forward. God will never forsake you. Be not afraid. He'll give you strength. He'll give you courage. Go as God would have you to go. Don't turn around. Don't even go right. Or, you know, you can't turn around unless you go left or right. You got to go one way or the other first. God says, don't even get sideways. Keep going forward. Go ahead. Cross that Jordan. It may be a scary thing, but don't be afraid. God will be with you. God will give you the strength that you need. God will sustain you. When we go forward as God would have us to do, God will see us through it. Go forward, not to the right, not to the left, and certainly not behind. Go forward. God will be with you. I thank you for your good attention.